And you're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 100.5 FM.
Marijuana is currently a controlled and illicit drug in Canada, yet 53% of British Columbians report using the drug at some point in their lives. A criminal conviction under drug laws can have long-term and serious consequences. Sensible BC is an organization seeking to legalize and regulate marijuana. Elections BC has just approved the language of their petition to introduce into the legislature a bill called the Sensible Policing Act. This would effectively decriminalize cannabis possession in BC. If Sensible BC can gather enough signatures this fall, there will be a public referendum held in 2014 on the subject of decriminalization. Dana Larson is director of Sensible BC, and he joins me by phone this morning. Hello, Dana.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Now, your organization wants to see the Sensible Policing Act passed by the BC legislature. Can you give us a little bit of information about what's in your bill?
Well, absolutely. The Sensible Policing Act does four things that are all within provincial jurisdiction that we would see as sensible steps forward in terms of marijuana policy. So the crux of the bill is that we use the province's jurisdiction over policing to tell all the police in British Columbia that they must stop spending any time or resources on searching or detaining anybody for marijuana possession. So we effectively decriminalize that by making it the lowest priority for the police. If there's a minor in possession of marijuana, the police can treat that the same as if it was alcohol. So they can be seized from a minor, but there'd be no criminal intervention or criminal record. The third thing our legislation does is it formally calls upon the federal government to repeal marijuana prohibition to go further than just decriminalization, so that British Columbia can then create a legally regulated system in our province in a manner similar to alcohol and tobacco.
And now I want to ask you a little bit more about that system that you have in mind in a moment. But first of all, I want to just ask you a little bit about marijuana enforcement currently in BC. And I mean, in Vancouver, we're used to a pretty lax enforcement of drug possession laws about marijuana use. Is that different in other parts of BC?
Yes, absolutely. The Vancouver Police Department has a policy not to really bother people or try to lay charges for marijuana possession if there's no complaints or nothing else going on. But that policy is very different across the rest of British Columbia. And in fact, the RCMP have more than doubled the number of marijuana possession charges over the past 6 years. We're seeing a very high rate of enforcement and arrests when it comes to marijuana possession in British Columbia. It's actually higher per capita in our province than any other province in Canada. And it's a real waste of police resources. And the vast majority of British Columbians recognize that someone in possession of marijuana should not be a priority for the police, but the RCMP are making marijuana possession an increasing target of their enforcement.
Now, is that because there is higher marijuana use here?
Well, it's true that there's a slightly higher rate of marijuana use in British Columbia, but it's only a point or two higher percentage-wise, whereas in terms of arrests in British Columbia, they're more than double the national average. So there's really just a higher rate of marijuana enforcement when it comes to possession in British Columbia. And I think that's very deliberate. There's been a 40% increase in marijuana possession charges across Canada since Stephen Harper came to power. But in British Columbia, they've more than doubled, so they're clearly targeting British Columbia.
So for people who are convicted of marijuana possession, what kind of consequences are there for them?
Well, I mean, in terms of the actual legal punishment, they normally just get time served and a fairly minor penalty, but the punishment's really the process. Aside from having to go through the humiliation of dealing with these charges, you end up with the stigma of a criminal record, which could haunt you for the rest of your life. And that can be very damaging to people in terms of international travel, in terms of being able to seek employment. So the consequences of a marijuana possession charge, never mind a conviction, even a charge, can be quite serious.
But I understand you can actually be put in jail for up to 6 months for a first conviction on simple possession of marijuana.
Yeah, that would be the maximum penalty, and to be fair, that's very rare. People aren't getting 6-month jail sentences for possession of marijuana in Canada. But nevertheless, this is all the more reason to redirect police resources away from marijuana possession charges so they can focus on substantial real crimes.
Now, the bill you want to see passed has two goals: decriminalization for now, as you said, and then the government to take steps towards legalization. Why is decriminalization a good first step?
Well, because it's what we can do as a province. It's within our jurisdiction to decriminalize marijuana. Full legalization does require a change to federal law. So I think it's important for the provinces to take this step forward and to acknowledge that prohibition is not working, that charging people for marijuana possession is very expensive and time-consuming, and that Canadians, especially British Columbians, don't want the police to be focusing on marijuana possession. So we decriminalize possession, and then we work towards a legally regulated model that we can put in place as soon as possible.
So we get all the benefits that you already spoke about in terms of decriminalization right away.
Yeah, and actually it would save our province over $10 million a year in police and court costs if we stop laying charges for marijuana possession. So that's a good start.
Now, let's look at the model that you see of how a legalized, regulated situation would work. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, our legislation doesn't specify what legalization would look like. We leave that up to a BC commission that would try to figure out those details and make recommendations to the government. But the model that I advocate for marijuana legalization, I call it the wine model. Because with wine, you can grow or you can brew a little bit in your own home for yourself and your friends. There's not any taxes or strict controls over that. That should be the same for cannabis. You can grow a bit for yourself and your friends. If you want to sell or buy wine in a store, there's all kinds of products available. They're labeled. They're available legally. So we need a similar kind of model for cannabis. People should be able to grow a bit in their own home. They should be able to buy legal, regulated, properly labeled, certified organic cannabis products in a store. And if there's extracts or tinctures or things like that, they should be properly labeled as the potency and dosage. That's the kind of future we need. And that would really bring up British Columbia's $6 billion marijuana industry from the underground to the mainstream, where it really belongs and where it can be regulated and taxed and have public scrutiny and clarity.
And I guess it sort of on that same analogy with the wine model, you can't sell it then.
Yeah, individuals can't sell wine without going through a licensing process, and the government's the primary buyer and seller of wine, so that will be the same kind of model. But, you know, we have wineries that are very small, niche wineries, and we have wineries that are really large, big companies. I think in the same way the marijuana industry, once legalized, there'll be room for smaller niche producers, and there'll be room for bigger producers as well.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the referendum process with you now. Elections BC recently approved Sensible BC's petition and gave you the green light to start gathering signatures for a referendum on the Sensible Policing Act. What are the next steps?
Well, it's very challenging to actually have a referendum here in British Columbia. So the way it works is we have 90 days to collect the signatures from registered voters, from 10% of the registered voters in every electoral district. That comes to around 400,000 people. So that 90-day clock is going to start on September 9th, and we'll have 90 days to collect all those signatures. Our main focus now is registering people as canvassers, because you can't collect signatures unless you filled out a form to be a canvasser to be able to collect signatures. And we're going to need at least 5,000 or 6,000 canvassers all around BC to collect these signatures. So anyone who wants to get involved in making history, whether you can collect 10 signatures or 100 signatures, either way, you got to go to sensiblebc.ca/canvas, and then you can find out there how you can fill out that form, how you can be a canvasser for our campaign. If we can get all these signatures this fall, then the Sensible Policing Act will be put to a public vote, to a referendum, next year in 2014.
So how many signatures is it in total you need to get to the referendum stage?
It's over 400,000 signatures, which represents 10% of the registered voters in every single one of BC's 85 electoral districts. If we miss just one district, we fail.
So you can't just get them in Vancouver. You have to have people all around the province doing that. I guess that's one of the major hurdles with the referendum legislation, yeah?
It's very challenging. You're absolutely right. And it's much harder to get on the ballot here than it is, than it would have been in Washington or California or any American state with a referendum system. The number of signatures we need, the short time frame, and there's a number of other rules that they've tossed in just to make it extra challenging. So that's the reason why we never have referendums in British Columbia, except the one we had on the Fight HST campaign. Others have tried. They've always failed to get on the ballot. And there's no guarantee we're going to make it. But we've got a very good team. We've got a very solid foundation we've laid. And we've been traveling all around this province, putting volunteers in place, training people up, and getting ready for September 9th.
Do you have a sense of what the support would be in the province for decriminalization?
Oh, yeah. We've done polling, and our polling is very consistent with other polls that have been done over the years. We ask people specifically about the provisions of our legislation, the decriminalization and then legalization, and we found over 70% support from British Columbians, an incredibly strong majority. We also found a majority of support in every demographic and political group we could think of. So even self-described Conservative Party voters in British Columbia have 57% support for decriminalization and legalization. So it's something that crosses the political spectrum. Every age group, every demographic group in British Columbia, there's a majority for decriminalization of marijuana.
So I'm wondering if it sounds like the biggest hurdle is getting those signatures to get the referendum on the ballot, and then maybe after that, that's a less difficult challenge. Is that how you see it?
Absolutely. Getting on the ballot, very, very challenging. Once we're on the ballot, we're going to win that referendum with such broad support. I have no doubt at all that we would have a massive victory when it comes to the actual vote. But it's just logistically a very large challenge. We've got to activate, you know, thousands of volunteers. We need to reach all the British Columbians we can. And we're working on it. But like I said, there's no guarantee we're going to get on the ballot. It's a very difficult job.
So if people want to help, then they should go to your website and they can find out how to register as volunteers?
Absolutely. And we're putting on events all the way through the summer. We've got all kinds of things going on. We're actually going to be out on the beach later today, rounding up volunteers. We've also got an event in Aldergrove today as well that we're at. I've been traveling all around the province, and all this information is at sensiblebc.ca. So anybody can register there. They can find out more about the campaign. They can see our summer schedule online at sensiblebc.ca.
Okay, great. Thanks very much for talking to me this morning, Dana.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I've been speaking with Dana Larson. He is an author, politician, longtime marijuana legalization activist, and director of Sensible BC. And as he mentioned, they're holding a beach barbecue today from 1 to 7 at Hastings Mill Park in Vancouver. You can find out more about all of that and about the Police Act referendum on their website. Their website is sensiblebc.ca.